This is the Fourth Trimester Fitness Podcast, helping moms reclaim the right to their pain-free, most functional, and athletic body now. Whether you had a baby this year, 5, or 20 years ago, it's never too late for you to heal, and you're in the right place. We're talking all things fitness, nutrition, mom life, mindset, and challenging the status quo on women's health during their fourth trimester. I'm your host, Lindsay Newman. Thanks for tuning in. I want to talk today about weight loss and goals and the types of goals that we set for ourselves as moms and when we set them and why we set them and what the long-term ideal that we carry is. So I will tell you, I used to be a mom who believed that being my healthiest meant being my thinnest. And I hear this all the time, still from women when I ask them their goals and they say, well, I just want to be skinnier or I just need to lose weight. So I wanted to talk about this today because weight loss is attainable, but it's important to not confuse being skinny with being healthy. The two do not equal the same thing necessarily. And in order to see weight loss, we have to look at our health and at our lifestyle. Just being thin for the sake of being thin or taking up as little space as possible actually really puts your health at risk in a lot of different ways. It comes at a cost. So potential nutrient depletion, hormonal dysfunction, metabolic stress, adrenal fatigue. So all of these things physically on your body, not to mention the chronic psychological stress of always needing to be thin, because the weight of that is far heavier than anything on your actual body. So it's time we start asking ourselves a little bit more of the why. What is my goal? What is the end goal? When is skinny skinny enough? Am I willing to compromise my health to get there really quickly? Or am I willing to lean into my health consistently day to day and see the results show up as a byproduct of a healthier lifestyle? You can absolutely lose weight if you want to fairly quickly by being very restrictive with your eating and by making sure that your output and your expenditure is high. We've seen a lot of moms and a lot of women experience eating disorder and binge dieting or fad dieting. I know a lot of people who went through the phase of using HCG dieting or hormonal replacement therapy for the sake of weight loss, rather than looking at the healthy lifestyle. What can we adjust within the healthy lifestyle? And rather than saying, I want to lose weight, saying something along the lines of, I want to eat healthier, or I want to have more energy, those are attainable goals pretty quickly also, but are going to yield the result of weight loss. On the last episode I shared, I talked about my son, Will, who was really chronically ill, and that was a really interesting time of life for me, also just on a personal level, trying to figure out where I could fit in exercise, where I could fit in nutrition, where I could take care of my body, because I was so 100% depleted giving this sweet little baby everything that I had and my other two kids, and then trying to be a good wife and spouse. So I know a lot of moms fall into this category where we feel completely run down and yet still carry this pressure on our shoulders of, I need to lose weight, I need to lose weight. But if we look at our goals and we look at the phase of life that we're in and we assess, is weight loss and holding myself to that ideal and that as the end goal right now for me, is that healthy? Is that appropriate? And is it a realistic goal? Or do I need to make some adjustments to my lifestyle, maybe to my stress management, maybe to my sleep, my hydration, my daily movement, the nutrition that I'm eating? Those things are going to yield probably higher results. So when Will was super sick, I was living in California at the time, and my husband and I were huge emotional eaters. I still to this day am extremely coherent and know the second that I've stepped into that emotional eating realm and when I'm eating just for the sake of eating because I don't know what else to do. So at least I learned something. At least I learned how to catch myself out in that moment and be a little bit smarter utilizing that tool. But at the time, we were drowning. We were barely surviving day to day emotionally. We'd kind of rocked bottomed out. And we didn't necessarily know any better. We didn't know how to better cope. We didn't know to look at health. At the time, my mind was extremely aesthetic focused and also, I would say, goal oriented. I've always been a person who's tried to push myself to do hard things and to prove that I can do hard things. That means a lot to me. But also, I do want the return of investment of the aesthetic piece. I think most of us do. And feeling like I really liked my body and the way that it looked. So during such a difficult phase with Will, it was extremely hard to stay on track with any kind of plan, with any kind of exercise regimen. I would get started and then we'd have weeks where we'd just fall off the wagon because we were so exhausted. And I would push myself to do these extremely hard workouts because my goal was always weight loss. My goal was always fat loss. I just want to be thinner. I just want to shed this extra weight that I'm carrying. So I did a lot of running. I did a lot of HIIT training and I did some resistance work, but not a lot. The goal of every workout was to get really, really sweaty and it was to push myself and to just crush my workout every single time. And as I did this and also underfed myself until the weekends when my husband and I would go to the best donut shop on the planet, Rolling Pin, it's a classic, for fresh donuts almost weekly. We would be ordering takeout multiple nights in a row, and I was coping from a very emotional place. I was not my best. I was not functioning to the best of my ability, rightfully so. But what I didn't realize is that during this time, while I was so weighed down emotionally and I was so stressed out all the time, and my body was living in fight or flight mode and producing cortisol a little too often, a little too much, I was compounding on that stress. I was compounding on my weight by doing all of this heavy workout, heavy expenditure, high cardio exercise. I had to learn the hard way, but more is not always better for our health, right? More HIIT, more sweat, more dropping to the floor after workout annihilation, more diet restriction, more pounding the pavement usually doesn't get you closer to your goals unless your body is in a healthy enough place to get you there. It does, however, get you closer to burnout and metabolic dysfunction or hormonal issues by placing such high demand on your body without meeting it with adequate recovery is why so many moms are absolutely burned out and not seeing results because we feel this weight to be thin and to get the weight off by any means, at any cost. And so we spend a lot of time just looking for more, 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 rather than actually realizing that the body needs to be able to balance input versus output. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But while I was working out, trying to free myself of this extra weight, emotionally compromised, overeating, I was in a really tough spot. To compound on top of that, we went through some really hard personal life issues with family and struggled through a few years of just separation and misunderstanding, and it was incredibly draining on our emotional bodies. So, all this to say, there was a lot of high stress for a few years in a row. So, you could call that chronic stress, right? Chronic stress on the body, chronic pushing myself to go harder and to do more, to eat less, to move more, which, by the way, eat less, move more became my least favorite saying in the fitness industry during this time specifically because the body's not always that simple, dang it. I wish that it were. But I found myself eating way less, moving way more, and despite my occasional takeout or cookie on the weekend, was tracking calories, macros, making sure that I was falling at least to my calorie goal every single day. And gosh, the body's just not always that simple because I was not losing weight. In fact, I was gaining weight. And by my calculations at the time, with the limited knowledge that I had about nutrition and macros and calorie needs, I started to be really frustrated, feeling like I'm clearly in a caloric deficit. I train for over an hour, sometimes two, every single day. Half of that is cardio. I'm working out so hard. I'm eating around like 1,200, 1,300 calories, and nothing is moving. The scale is not budging. So yeah, eat less, move more became my least favorite saying. And I actually gained weight during that period. And people might say, well, how is that possible? How would you gain weight if you were eating that little and moving that much? But my body had become so stressed and weighed down with inflammation that the system was kind of on shutdown. And I heard somebody explain this at one point in time in regards to a cell phone and a cell phone battery. When the battery is fully charged, your phone can do everything that you need it to do. All of the applications work. Everything is easy. But when you start to hit low power mode, things go into reserve. You can't access things quite as well. And the phone has to conserve energy wherever possible so that it can keep doing its job. And I started to realize that my body was doing the same thing. And I had run up against some metabolic weight loss resistance. My body was shutting down, trying to create space for these systems that were trying to do their job and trying to do it effectively with the little resources and nutritional help and overproduction of cortisol than they should. So moms who've been living with this kind of chronic stress, which doesn't even necessarily have to mean that you carried the same emotional burden as me. Chronic stress can mean chronic dieting, yo-yo dieting, restriction, overexertion, overtraining. We call that overreaching, right? Moms who've done this or been living with this mindset of eat less, move more for years have now become chronic dieters, and they often bottom out their metabolic potential and feel really, really stuck. I think we've heard this a lot from a lot of different women across the board, across the span of our lives, who say, oh, my metabolism just was never the same after I had kids. Once I turned 30, my metabolism just struggled and bottomed out, or 40, it's just not the same. When research actually shows that our metabolism shouldn't start to decline until we're about 60 years old. But you hear this all the time, and they're not wrong. They're not wrong. Their metabolisms are struggling and they are having a hard time. But there's also a reason for that. There's a reason for that. If you use that phone and you're constantly on it all day and you're taking videos, you're on vacation, that battery's going to run out pretty quick. If you are constantly pushing your body to where it doesn't necessarily have all of the energy reserved to go, then you're going to hit rock bottom pretty quick, right? And you may also find yourself running up against actual health concerns that need to be addressed before the metabolism is ready to leave survival mode and help you lose weight. Remember, weight is a symptom. It's not a root cause. The root cause is the lifestyle that you're leading. The root cause of the weight gain or of the metabolic weight loss resistance is the lifestyle. It's the stress that you're placing on your body by under-eating and overtraining. It's the emotional stress. It's constantly living in fight or flight mode. It's hormones. It's all of the deeper things that people think we can ignore sometimes, but eventually, like if you're like me at least, we'll catch up to you. So you can keep trying to eat less and move more year after year after year, but eventually you're eating next to nothing. You're eating so little. Where do you go from there? And you're killing yourself in the gym and it's not working. And your workouts are leaving you actually more depleted than energized. When exercise should reinvigorate you, you should leave the gym feeling a little bit better than when you walked in, even if you worked out really hard, right? You shouldn't get home and want to fall dead on the couch and be exhausted for the rest of the day because you worked out. And now the price you have to pay for working out is being on the couch. That's where I had gotten to, where I was so afraid that if I didn't do my workouts and if I didn't get to the gym, that I wasn't going to see progress. And I remember crying to my husband and being like, I have to keep going. I have to keep going so that one day when I figure this out, I'll at least still be in the habit. But I'm telling you what, I just feel awful. Like, I feel awful. I try to go to these HIIT classes. I can't jump. My body feels so heavy and so tired. I'm living off of caffeine to get myself to the gym. It's the worst. And I'm gaining weight. So I was in a really tough spot, very, very frustrated. So in this scenario, I was essentially forced to look at my health from a very different perspective and look at it as far as understanding, okay, I'm not focusing here in this moment anymore on aesthetics because I no longer have that privilege. I no longer have that capacity. I have to look at this from a health perspective. Why isn't my body working? Why can't I lose weight? What does my lifestyle look like? Am I managing stress? Am I balancing the scale as far as energy output versus energy input? Am I feeding my body well enough to see the results that I want to see? Am I healthy? Are my hormones healthy? Am I stuck? And I had to take a lot of responsibility for the fact that my lifestyle needed some tweaking. It needed some changes so that my body could be healthy, because when a body's healthy, then it will respond to you in the way that you want it to. I always tell my clients, give your body what it needs from you so that it can give you what you want from it, so that it can help you reach your goals. We're really good at looking at the body and saying what we want from it, but we're not very good at giving back. So learning this balance has been a real challenge for me. I've had to kind of crawl through the mud of PCOS and hormone imbalance and dysfunction and feeling like my body was just on shutdown, insulin resistance, where I had to be checking glucose numbers to keep my blood sugars a little bit more regulated, and all of this because of chronic stress, overtraining, undereating, and emotional stress as well. It's very, very interesting when the fitness literature is saying, just eat less, move more, and you find yourself in this position where you're like, I did that. I did that. It's not working. What do I do next? Well, the next step is to assess your health. So I wanted to talk about this because being our thinnest, again, does not mean being our healthiest. And at what cost are we willing to exchange one for the other? I think it's important to note that we can reach our weight loss goals. We can be leaner. We can manipulate the body to adapt to certain training stimulus or nutritional protocol to see awesome results. But a lot of moms, if you're like me, find yourself in the space where you believe that you are the exception to the rule and that that won't happen for you because everything that you've done, all the things you've tried aren't working and you feel like you're burned out and your body just won't do it. So when this happens, we have to look at ourselves on the health spectrum. So when I say health spectrum, I like to think of this as a spectrum between athleticism or athlete and functional health. If we don't fall closer on the pendulum to functional health, then we're going to have a really hard time getting to athlete, right? We have to be able to feel good in order to move more. We have to be able to take care of our body on a cellular metabolic level before we can see weight loss. So we have to look at health a little bit differently here. And I had to, by force, kind of make that shift in my own life and start looking at my health. So my journey was a little bit interesting because I went to my OB. I set an appointment and just said, you know what, I just feel awful. I think my hormones must be very, very wrong, very off. I have no libido. I am gaining weight. I'm exhausted beyond all reason. I'm exercising and I'm not losing weight. I'm eating healthy and I'm not losing weight. So I went to her and asked her thoughts. She got some blood work done and we kind of looked at those numbers, and there was definitely something a little bit off that we found in the blood work. And at the time, she thought that it was a marker that I was premenopausal. And I was pretty shocked and thought, like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I do not believe that that can be true, especially at the time I was only around like 28, 29. So she sent me to see an endocrinologist, and I went to that endocrinologist just through my insurance. He ran a few more labs and got back to me and said, you're not premenopausal, you're fine. These numbers are a little low, your estrogen's a little bit off, but it's still within range, so you're fine. And I remember being so upset and so discouraged because I was tired of people telling me that I was fine. I was tired of people telling me that everything looked good, because that had to mean that then the problem was me. But I knew from a very honest place that I was not the problem, that I was doing the prescribed workout to nutrition ratio and that it wasn't working and that I was just having a really, really difficult time. So I knew that it was not true, and my gut was telling me otherwise. Like, hey, no, there's something very, very off here. So I kept trying to exercise, but also got myself to a functional nurse practitioner who did some more in-depth testing. And she was the one who told me, hey, it looks like your hormones are incredibly off. You've got some PCOS. And now that I know more currently, after studying nutrition and PCOS and special implications, I can see that that happened as a result of chronic adrenal stress and cortisol production and nutrient depletion, overtraining, undereating. So she was able to help me make some changes to my lifestyle, changes that would help me get a little bit more back on track. She talked to me a little bit about nutrition, not a ton, but helped me with some supplementation and some hormone replacement therapy. So I started doing that, and by darn, I lost like 20 pounds over the course of 3 months. The weight started to just fall off. And I was so excited, and I just felt so much freer. And I remember feeling like I could have a little bit more energy. And with that energy, I sometimes would just want to train harder and go crazy because I was so excited to be able to move my body and not want to drop dead. I remember I ran a half marathon with my sister at the time, and I cried at the finish line because I just was so overwhelmed with gratitude for a body that could move and feel somewhat decent, a body that wasn't working against me, but that could potentially work with me, right? So during that phase, I had to really shift. I had to love myself for where I was at, who I was, what my body looked like. I had to understand that being my thinnest and working to be my thinnest was maybe not the way that I was going to reach my goals, so much as focusing on being my healthiest and being my strongest. How can I feel this way? How can I keep this feeling of athleticism and strength so that I can just keep going? Because that is the path. I started to feel better in my body when I moved from so much cardio and HIIT towards more of the resistance training. walking, a little bit more low intensity work. And I started to see my body change in the ways that I wanted to. Now, there is a caveat to this because I am a person who spends a lot of her time looking for root cause and not symptoms. Like I was talking about before, weight gain is a symptom. It's not a root cause. The root cause is the lifestyle. What are we eating? How are we sleeping? How's our nutrition? How's our exercise and our movement? So weight gain is a symptom. And I am a root cause person. And that's why I found myself in this world of postpartum fitness anyways, was because I got so tired of Band-Aid fixes. I got so tired of just getting by, wearing a back brace, going to the chiropractor, getting massages, pain meds, all the things that were burning up my patients and my finances. And I really wanted root cause. That's what made me take that plunge into education and spending thousands and thousands of dollars on education so that I could get to the bottom of what was going on and what wasn't working and how to fix that. Because then I knew that I could be more active if my body wasn't feeling hurt. So the same would apply for me as far as nutrition goes and weight loss. Weight being a symptom, I always want to look for the root cause approach. So after I saw this functional nurse practitioner who had really helped me on my journey, it's been a few years now, and I did, you know, routine follow-ups with her. I was feeling better, but there were still things that weren't feeling quite 100% right. And I always wondered, am I going to have to take hormone replacement therapy forever and ever? The idea of that really, really bothered me because I felt like it was a Band-Aid fix. I kept wondering, like, why? Why are my hormones this way? Why are they not showing up or performing the way that they are supposed to? Is this something that's going to last forever? Or is there a root cause issue that I can uncover? And that is what pushed me to dive into functional nutrition and learning all about hormones and blood glucose and lab work and testing and root cause approach, proactive healing in a very reactive healthcare model. So as I've been studying and training and gaining more and more knowledge, I've started to realize that, again, there is more root cause. There can be more done as far as tweaking nutrition, tweaking training, helping my body to heal and be healthy, giving it what it needs from me so that it can give me what I want from it. And it's important that we look at our health and fitness journey as an opportunity to be really generous and gracious with our body. What can we give it? What will help it to feel happier and healthier? Where does balance lie? Where is the time and the phase for this specific goal that I have, right? So if I, during that phase with William, that was so hard and so draining and exhausting, if weight loss was my focus, what I should have been looking at was my lifestyle, the root cause to the weight gain, and thought, okay, what tweaks can I make to lose weight? Was maybe the wrong approach. What tweaks can I make to my lifestyle that will help me be healthier? Because if I'm healthier, then my body will perform better. This mindset shift is one that I'm still trying to work on every single day, but I think that it's invaluable because the chronic stress of wanting to be thin and at all cost, it does cost you eventually. Many of my clients that I work with, we have to spend some time healing before we can reach all of the aesthetic goals that they want. They see those goals come as a byproduct of healing and being healthier, healing their metabolism, healing their bodies from chronic undereating, chronic overtraining. But it takes time. It takes time, and it's important to remember that. So this is a hard thing because our conditioning, many of our conditioning, says that being thin is the best and that's what we should be. And throughout my lifetime, I remember girls in high school in the locker room having conversations about the ways that they would binge and then purge or eating disorders and how they weren't skinny enough. I've seen adult women, you know, refuse to be in family photos because they felt that they were too big or they didn't like the way that they looked at a certain phase of their life. I, from the time I was little, remember watching Disney Channel or like celebrities and seeing them go through such a skinny, skinny phase and that was so appealing. I remember as a kid thinking that I wanted my bones to protrude, my collarbones or my shoulder bones or those sorts of things. I wanted to be really, really thin and petite like some of these celebrities. I remember the first time that I thought maybe I was not thin enough and going for, this was in high school, I think my sophomore year, but going for like a stupid long run, like thinking that that one run was going to make all the difference in the world and just punishing myself almost, you know, approaching my body from a place of disdain rather than a place of respect and one that was promoting health and healthy mindset. And I know that this is completely compounded after we have babies because our bodies are so unfamiliar and unrecognizable that sometimes it can just be exhausting feeling like that we should look a certain way, we should be able to do certain things. And when we can't, man, it's just so hard. So when we're setting goals, when we are trying to aim for weight loss or aesthetic-based goals, typically what I found is that our motivation is low. Our motivation is low because we don't see those changes happen very quickly, and so it kind of fizzles out. Motivation can be a little bit superficial sometimes. I don't always feel motivated to do the things that I know that I need to do. And I started realizing that I needed a lot more discipline. And discipline comes from addressing your greater why you want to accomplish a certain goal. What is the real motivation? Okay, so if you're talking about weight loss and wanting to be thin, is it that you feel like you do not fit in or that your value is less if you don't weigh a certain number? Ooh, getting up close and honest and personal with ourselves is very uncomfortable. But I had to start looking at my motivation and my why as like, okay, I want to be able to get off the couch and make dinner and not be completely burnt out and exhausted. I want to be able to have, you know, energy to play with my kids, let alone get off the couch. I want to be able to be intimate with my spouse and really have the energy for that and for him. I want to not feel like garbage all the time. I want to be able to move without pain. These are deeper whys. And the deeper whys breed a lot more discipline than the superficial reasons for motivation, like weight loss. But the beauty is that fat loss and aesthetic changes come as a result of a healthy lifestyle. You can really get by with focusing on health and you will achieve both goals. You will be able to see your body change and you will feel 1000% better and your meter of success will adjust. Meaning, rather than looking at yourself as a failure for not losing weight or being your skinniest all the time, you'll be able to look at yourself from a very healthy mindset and say, my goal wasn't to be skinny. My goal is to feel strong and healthy. You can check that off your list every day and feel successful, which is fantastic. I know a lot of this is easier said than done. And I know that many of us have been conditioned heavily to focus on fat loss, to focus on being our thinnest, and that's what is healthiest. But when we find that that's not working, when we find that we are constantly feeling the weight of that, it's important to make some shifts and to make some changes so that we can move the needle forward towards our fitness goals from a really healthy place. So by setting goals, we can look at kind of our phase of life that we're in, the phase of motherhood, because they're all different, Every phase of motherhood is a little bit different. The phase with little tiny babies is very different than the phase with teenagers, right? So we can look at the phase of life that we're in and we can kind of assess what is healthiest for me at this point in time. Is it more functional fitness? Is it health and wellness and taking care of my family and my body? Or is this a phase where I can push a little bit more for my athletic goals and my own aspirations? I, you know, started this episode by talking about, for me with William being so sick and living in survival mode, it was not the phase for me to be setting the goal of big weight loss and big fitness gains and being just absolutely remarkable. It wasn't the phase for me because I was so overwhelmed with everything that was going on in my life. A better, more realistic goal would have been functional fitness, moving to feel good. What makes me feel good? Am I walking? Can I walk with my kids more than normal? Am I hydrating really well? Am I eating micronutrients that my body needs? Am I eating enough calories that are good for me? Or am I restricting while my body's already freaking out? It's important to kind of address the phase of life that you're in so that you can set a realistic goal. Now, you know, my youngest is 4 and I can set different goals than I could when all of my kids were smaller. But it's more realistic for me at this point in time to be able to work a little bit more and dive a little bit deeper into my own health and fitness journey. Does that mean that I shouldn't do anything for my health and fitness just because I'm overwhelmed and in a different phase of motherhood? No. There are always things that we can be doing to keep ourselves in mind and to keep ourselves healthy and to keep ourselves from feeling the weight and the burden of just absolute depletion. So setting appropriate goals, not carrying this mentality with us day in and day out of, I need to be thinner, I need to lose weight. Recognizing what phase am I in? What phase of motherhood am I in? Am I in a phase where I can focus on fat loss and I can push myself athletically? Am I healthy enough to do that? Is my body ready to respond to that? Because training and nutrition, I like to refer to as the ultimate game of good cop, bad cop. So you go to the gym, you play bad cop, you are working out and you're pushing muscles hard, you are tearing down muscle tissue, breaking it down so that you can rebuild. And after you leave the gym, you walk out that door, you have a Jekyll and Hyde moment, and now you are the good cop. Now you are in recovery mode. You are feeding your body to meet your goals, to meet your expenditure. You are foam rolling, you're taking baths, you're deep breathing, you're doing mobility work, you're walking, you're down training, you're focusing on healing. And then you go back to the gym and you play another round of bad cop, right? So, but you have to have balance of the two, because if I play bad cop day in and day out, my body's not going to respond to that. It doesn't have time to recover. It doesn't have time to heal. And pretty soon that stress compounds and compounds and compounds over time to be too much for my body. And it's more than it can handle. And now it's in power save mode. It's shutting down. So look at the phase of life that you're in. Look at motherhood very carefully. There's something you can do in every phase to address your health. And by addressing your health, you will be sparing yourself a lot and a lot of trouble long term. Rather than by focusing on being your thinnest, I always recommend focusing on being your healthiest. And being your healthiest is going to make some big, big, big shifts in your life. In the book, Atomic Habits, James Clear talks about, if you want to become like someone or something, to start focusing on the day-to-day process and adding in what you can do, essentially by saying, okay, if I want to be an athlete, I'm going to start eating like an athlete would eat or training like an athlete would train. Now, again, keeping in mind the phase of motherhood that we're in, just recognizing, okay, after I'm in my next phase, where do I want to be? What are my goals for this phase of motherhood so that I can keep moving the needle forward, but doing it realistically? okay, if I want to be a healthier version of myself, then I'm going to eat more vegetables. I'm going to drink more water and electrolytes. I'm going to take the supplements that I know that my body needs. I'm going to do routine check-ins on my hormones and my health and make sure that I am a healthier person so that when I come to that phase where I'm ready to expend more energy, where I'm ready to give more, I'm sleeping through the night, I'm able to address kind of an athletic push phase, I'll be ready. I'll be healthy because I was mindful of the phase I was in and the goals I was setting and how I was approaching health and fitness all the way along by not pushing myself into absolute burnout. Hopefully you've taken a couple of nuggets, couple of lessons learned from a piece of my experience here. This is an ongoing journey for me, so I'm sure that I will be talking more about it. But if you've found that you are struggling and you have tried and tried and tried to lose weight, you've tried and tried and tried to meet your fitness goals, and it's just not happening, and everyone who tells you to eat less, move more, you want to punch between the eyes because you're like, how could I possibly? You maybe need to start looking at your health and making sure that you're functional and that everything's working really well. And that's going to lead you ultimately where you really want to be and finding more of that balance and understanding how to get the physique and aesthetics that you're looking for as well. But most importantly, I think it'll teach you to really love yourself and to love your body and to understand when to give yourself some grace and when to play good cop and when to play bad cop and to know that this is a journey. Fitness is lifelong. And if it's truly a lifestyle, we have to make sure that we can sustain it for a lifetime. So if we are doing something that we feel like we have to do all the time, we're burying ourselves in HIIT workouts and we're eating next to nothing, if we can't sustain that lifelong, then we shouldn't be doing that month to month to month to month to month. So being our thinnest, though it's been socially conditioned and we have been made to believe that it is the healthiest version of ourselves, that may not always be true. And focusing on health first is going to get you where you want to go. You've been listening to the Fourth Trimester Fitness Podcast. We hope you feel empowered to take your health into your own hands and become your own greatest advocate. If you'd like more information on how you can get help to eliminate back pain, heal ab separation, and stop leaking, please be sure to follow along on Instagram at Linz C. Newman or apply for one-on-one training and nutritional coaching via the link in this podcast description.